We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
It's Tuesday, December 7th. I'm Jeff Schwartz alongside Gabe Gilman. This is Jeff Schwartz. This morning, you're powered by the Varsity Podcast Network. We just finished watching Monday Night Football, and Gabe, the Patriots hater, is very, very upset at New England going to Buffalo and winning a game that set back the forward pass 14-10. We'll talk about the Patriots, talk about the Chiefs, talk about the AFC, got some NFC stuff as well. But the top of the AFC is the New England Patriots and the Kansas City Chiefs, and the favorite, according to the gambling markets, is those Kansas City Chiefs. We'll talk about all that, some over-unders. At some point, maybe we'll touch on Oregon's coach being now the Miami Hurricanes coach. Touched a little bit that yesterday. But Gabe, you're very distraught, buddy.
Oh, maybe in addition to all those things you just mentioned, maybe we could just spill a bucket of paint and then watch it dry for the next 4 hours. And then when it's done, it could just look like a giant pile of poop. What the hell was that?
So
even the Manning brothers couldn't make that interesting.
So the Patriots and Bills played a game with the wind blowing at 40 miles an hour, basically left to right on your screen. So it was going, it wasn't like swirling from side to side. It was going basically of the direction of the stadium. And so you could basically conduct an offense to one side of the field and the other side you could not. And New England ran the ball, let's count this up here, 46 times. That includes a couple kneel downs at the end. So what would that be? That'd be like 44 times, I believe. There were two kneel downs for 200 and about 20 yards. Mac Jones was 2 for 3 for 19 yards. He had one pass attempt in the first half. They went 14-10. This was, I'm not sure another team in the NFL could pull off what the Patriots just did. They ran the ball every play, and the Bills knew they had to run the ball, and it didn't stop at all. The Bills only scored a touchdown off a muff punt that was barely even a muff punt. It grazed off the helmet of Harry. This was a masterclass by the master of all masters, one, Bill Belichick.
Why do you have to say it that way? Why will everyone say it that way all day Tuesday and forever? That was disgusting. If people wondered whether Bill Belichick has some weird deal with the devil, remember that game a bunch of years ago where it was like a sleet storm right up until the moment his team had the ball at Foxborough? This was his dream scenario for this game. Just gusts of wind and no reason to let a rookie even think about throwing it. He controls the weather. I'm done. I can't live like this any longer with this guy.
It seems like he gets a lot of breaks, but he takes advantage of those breaks too. I mean, Buffalo is at home. You have to figure they can control the line of scrimmage and they have a quarterback that can run and move. And obviously that helped a little bit today. Josh Allen has that strong arm. You expect in the wind for some of that to be used. It was at times, but there was a drop pass by Diggs. There was a drop pass by Knox. It was hard to catch the ball, put it like that. But yes, not pretty, Gabe, but a win. And New England, again, as I mentioned, now sit at the top of the AFC before their bye week at 9-4. They might have the one seed. They might have the bye. They're probably going to win the division at the minimum. Buffalo now drops all the way down to 7. It's 7-5. Behind Kansas City, who's 8-4 as they streak up. So, I don't know, there's not much to take away other than this is a New England win. Like, this is I feel a little bit angry that I had to stay up to record this to watch that game. Like, I feel like we could have just skipped this and you recorded earlier today. But again, I mean, New England's 9-4, man. Like, everyone counted out Bill Belichick after last season. Tom Brady won the divorce. And I mean, Gabe, I know you hate it. I know you hate them, but they're playing good football, buddy.
Dude, in a Pop Warner game, that wouldn't have been good football. That was disgusting to watch.
They've won 7 in a row. I don't really know how you – I mean, some games aren't going to be pretty, but when it was needed to run the football and play keep away, play field position, they did better than anyone else.
No team in the Super Bowl era has ever attempted fewer passes.
Why pass the ball when you run the ball so well?
Dude, I can't even imagine what it would be like to be part of this organization. And I have no idea how you're a joyful guy, Jeff. I've been around you. You like to smile and laugh.
Yeah.
How can anyone associated with this team have any joy in their life?
Well, the joy in football is winning.
Oh, God.
You saw Dan Campbell get a win this weekend with the Lions and Jared Goff. Jared Goff, I did not know, had already won. But
well, I think we know how Jared Goff finds joy in life. But that's for a different podcast.
He won twice yesterday.
He sure did.
But winning is fun, Gabe, because this league and playing the league can be very miserable. And you spend all this time preparing each week, mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, whatever you want to say, for a game, and winning makes it fun. It's okay. Like, I promise you, they're having fun because of their 7-game win streak. Like, that's fun. So, I mean, you can hate it. I know you do, but winning is fun. Mac Jones tonight wore like a scuba suit, I believe, underneath his uniform tonight, which what Tom Brady did in cold weather.
He could have been underwater. It wouldn't have made a difference. He didn't have to move. He didn't have to do anything. He might as well have played the game in a pool. He was not a part of this game. I don't understand. Do they not have coaches in Buffalo? Did no one else see that this was probably going to be what happened? They couldn't do anything to prepare for this? 3 passing attempts? 40-plus runs and they got nothing? They can't do anything against that? Josh Allen's the most mobile quarterback in the league. They can't make him run? Is this whole thing rigged against the rest of us for the Patriots? What world am I living in right now?
I mean, again, you this is more, in my opinion, on the Bills' inability to stop the run tonight and not force the Patriots out of their plan at all. Like, this is, it's not really, I mean, look, I'm heavy on Belichick tonight because I like the coach, but also just to piss you off. But also, this is, in my opinion, more of a failure of the Bills. Like, the Bills knew what they were doing, what New England was doing, and just had no answer for it till like the very end.
I mean, it was just disgusting. And so now I have to ask this question. I can't even believe I'm going to ask this, but this is really what's happening now. Here we are. We got about a third of the season left. And you know what is just absolutely the most likely scenario? The worst possible thing I can possibly imagine, worse than tonight, a Brady Belichick Super Bowl. That's what it looks like is going to happen. It's that bad.
It does seem like we're heading in that direction. I will say, though, you know, obviously things change a little bit when the playoffs come around. So I'm not sure that that I just wouldn't be so certain that they make the Super Bowl. I mean, the Chiefs are the favorite right now. So, again, I don't think it's a guarantee to make the Super Bowl. But yeah, I mean, they're on a path to at least not this year, but next year be a favorite.
Oh, God. Is this Bill Bell? I'm asking questions that the team put in a rundown. I can't even believe I'm saying these effing words. Is this Bill Belichick's best coaching season ever? Go ahead, Jeff.
Not yet. They haven't won a Super Bowl yet. But I think that what he's done with, I think it's his best free agency year ever. His ability to add Matthew Judon and Hunter Henry, and obviously you get Mac Jones in there.
Hunter Henry, was he a running back? Does he block?
He does do some blocking.
Yeah, he must do a lot of blocking because then no one catches the ball. But we don't throw the ball in 2021.
New England has 11 days off right now for their next game, and the Bills are back a game and a half in the AFC East, and they go to Tampa Bay this weekend. So Tom can do his old buddy a favor here and beat the Buffalo this weekend, and the Patriots need like one more win, and they're in the AFC East.
Okay, well,
I just know that at the beginning of the season, Matt and I, in our preview show, put money on New England to be over the win total to win the AFC East. So we will make money.
Great.
It might be the only wager.
So happy for you.
Might be the only wager we've won all year. But I feel good about that one.
Well, I'm really, really happy for you. I'm done talking about the Bills forever. That was the most disgraceful thing I've ever seen on a Monday night game. That was just absurd that's what they could come up with. Three passing attempts the whole game. They have 11 days off. Maybe they'll come up with a scheme where they throw the ball some wild amount like four times in a game. How does this team keep doing this to us? It's just, oh, God.
It's because they're well coached.
I mean, I was joking, Jeff, and there's a segue here to our next topic, which doesn't bother me as much, might bother you. I was joking on Twitter that if Bill Belichick had directed Top Gun, it wouldn't have had planes in it. It would have just been a bunch of Maverick dialogue or some boring-ass shit.
I get that reference.
Thank you.
So just would have been just ships at sea?
Just guys sitting around on boats talking about stuff. Maybe there'd have been a volleyball game, but they all would have been wearing like parkas or something. He just is the worst.
Does anyone play volleyball and like whether they're in jeans in that movie, right?
No one plays
volleyball.
Shirtless in jeans.
Yeah, that feels very unrealistic. That's where we are. Did Top Gun 2 ever come out, by the way? I saw previews.
It's coming.
It's still like not there yet.
Not there yet, man. It's coming. I'm looking forward to that. I need a day off from the podcast when that movie comes out.
Geez.
That's the first time I'm going back to a movie theater. Top Gun. Get ready.
I'm going to my first, indoor basketball game. I haven't been in 2 years this week.
All right. Get it, big man.
And I just went to the Big Ten title game. That was fun. I'm reintroducing myself. But I was not a big movie guy. The last movie I saw in theaters was, what's that gambling movie with Sandler? The one with...
Uncut Gems.
Uncut Gems, yeah.
Yeah.
I saw it by myself on Christmas, I think, or New Year's Eve, something like that. And
funny enough, also the last movie I saw in a theater.
That movie's frenetic. Makes you...
Yeah, I almost had a heart attack.
And you also can't place a three-team parlay like that, or three-leg parlay like that.
No, but that wasn't really that important. I felt like I've never done any serious drugs, Jeff. I don't think you have either. That's what I imagine it's like to do some of the crazier drugs that people like to do, that movie.
I am just high on life. I'm high on the Patriots game plan tonight, running the football. Establish the run is back, baby.
All right, well, let me bring you down a little bit. And I'm going to paraphrase our boy Colin Cowherd, because this show is all about straightening out some silly takes every now and then. Colin's got a saying, okay? Boring wins. So boring just one Monday night, clearly. But boring is also winning for your Chiefs. The team that used to be the most exciting team in maybe an NFL history is now the most boring team other than the Patriots, and it's working magic for them. Their offense is a snooze fest, but their defense is suddenly a world beater. Jeff, I don't know what the hell happened, but they're winners of five straight, and they're obviously the only other team in the AFC worth talking about beyond the Pats.
Well, what happened is their defense got a lot better. The last five games, or five-game win streak, they've allowed 17. Now, again, this is the Giants. So Daniel Jones, backup, Jordan Love, 7 points. Then they played Derek Carr allowed 14. Dak Prescott allowed 9. And then obviously the Broncos, they allowed 9 as well. But offensively, they have only scored over 20 offensive points once in the last five games. They had a defensive touchdown to get to 22 against the Broncos. Let's start with defensively, Gabe. I thought it was kind of silly, and I said this along on the podcast for months. It was silly to just assume the defense is going to be the worst ever on paper after 4 weeks. And with the players they have, the coaches they have, and Steve Spagnuolo, the defense coordinator, typically gets better throughout the season. 2019, the year they won the Super Bowl, their defense wasn't good for the first half of the season. All of a sudden, it kind of clicked about the bye week. And what he's done this year is they've simplified the scheme, not so much man coverage. They've made some roster adjustments. Daniel Sorensen, 49, who had the interception, is out of the lineup more often. He was getting torched, right? Cannot be in man coverage. Put Thornhill in there, interception against Teddy as well. They're playing Willie Gay more, and he's been healthy. Hitchens has been healthy at linebacker. They moved Chris Jones back inside to D-tackle, has been very impressive. Melvin Ingram been a huge – Steelers traded away a starting defensive end. It's wild to me. In the conference, he's been good. So defense has picked up the slack. And everyone's talking about the offense, so let's talk about the offense. It's an offense playing with no confidence right now, Gabe. And there's good reason for that. They will have moments where it looks like it should, but they have way too many moments where it doesn't. And that really, I think, becomes kind of this issue where it kind of just perpetuates over and over again. So here's what it is, Gabe. I've said this before. When you have a bad player or two in offense, you can scheme up around that guy. So let's say your right tackle's bad. I remember my first start in the NFL in 2009. We're playing the Vikings on Sunday Night Football. They had Ray Edwards, who was blocking, and then Jared Allen over the left tackle. And the Williams brothers at defensive tackle. And my coach were terrified of me. It was my first start in the NFL. Sunday Night Football, by the way, too. So they devised a whole game plan to make sure that I had help and all this stuff, right? One guy, just me. Easy to do. But the problem is with the Chiefs, how do you game plan for drops, bad throws, turnovers, penalties, more drops? Like, how do you don't game plan for that, right? And so that's the problem right now, is they're having too many of these self-inflicted errors. Chris Collinsworth mentioned it. You know, Mahomes' mechanics at times gets really lax, and those balls kind of sail him a little bit. I think the offensive line does a really good job, actually. Their center, Creed Humphreys, I think they do a good job. But they do far too many things where they run sideways, and just the scheme, it's not really their fault. They get negative plays in that situation. And they just look like an offense that has no confidence, Gabe. And I don't know why they should right now. However, they do have drives where they look great. And it's like, okay, well, if you can do that, return to that form. But it's week 12 now. That feels unlikely to happen, but if it does, and we keep holding on to hope because of the players they have and the quarterback they have and the coach they have, they're going to win the AFC. But I don't know if that's going to happen, because what happens if they play Buffalo or New England? That team scores 24 points. The Chiefs haven't shown the ability to keep up right now. So it's really odd to see Chiefs offense struggle like this. But the pieces are there. The parts are there. They can figure out how to stop dropping the ball, turning it over, penalties, then they're going to be back. But I will caution you for the last time. It's week 12, man. If it's not happening now, it's week 13, right? Week 13. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't happen now, it's probably not happening this season, Gabe.
Okay. Well, whether or not it's going to happen, I think you have taught me that it isn't just like a hot take thing to say that, like, momentum and confidence and these sort of easy things for fans to point at actually kind of do matter a little bit to an offense. So Ryan Clark knows offense, knows defense real well, said on ESPN, offensively, no one is scared of this team anymore. So forget about what they can do in their practice and their scheme. Do other teams just not freak out anymore? All the trick plays, all the crazy stuff Pat does, it doesn't intimidate anyone anymore.
I think teams, if they weren't afraid, they would send more pressure at Pat, and they're sitting back in zone coverage. Like, I don't think that would tell you that they are afraid of getting beat deep, right? Because a couple plays here or there that he hits in a game and now you're down 14 points, right? I think that afraid, are they afraid of Pat in this offense? No, but they also know that it can just flip a switch and you score a bunch of points. That's why I'm sitting back in zone. Chiefs have to get them out of zone by running the football and kind of completing underneath passes, but they're not going to do it if they score, 15 offensive points.
Maybe they should try only passing three times in a whole game. See if that works.
I would love it. They do well doing that.
How about this? You were right in pointing out in the first half of the year, you told everyone to chill and that sort of there'd be a correction to the mean and that some of the turnovers and some of the weird plays were just sort of fluky and over the course of 16, 17 games, it would balance out. And you were mostly right about that. But in the last five games, no quarterback has thrown more off-target throws than Pat Mahomes. He has 37 of them.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the kind of stat guys like you pay attention to. I wouldn't normally, but there's that number for you. Does that tell you something?
Yeah, and Collinsworth mentioned this on the broadcast, right? It's just that the arm angles and some of the things he's doing just aren't really Patrick Mahomes. There was talk about just kind of like off the field factors that have kind of maybe played into mentally preparing this year in a different way, which he had a baby, man. Like things are like as much help as you can have for a kid, Gabe, nanny or night nurse. I don't know what their situation is. Life is different with a kid. Like it just is.
I mean,
you have three.
You're like, are you trying to trigger me even more? How much more triggered do I need to be after that Pats game?
I saw, by the way, did you drive like across the country by yourself?
No, you're referencing an Instagram post that my wife put out where she sold me out and made me look bad to my friends. And we were in San Francisco for Thanksgiving. And then I made the very strategic, calculated decision that instead of trying to drive three young children all the way across the state on the Sunday after Thanksgiving, rather, I would put my wife and the kids on a one-hour flight on Monday morning first thing so they could still get to school and she could go to work. And then I would drive by myself, the hero that I am, all day just slogging along the five. And so I am a hero and she got the easy way out.
I thought the post said that she traveled from across the country, like New York City or something.
No. She'd like you to believe that. She flew, 45 minutes from San Francisco to LA?
Oh.
Nothing.
Oh, wow. She put you out to dry on that one.
Oh, I totally got sold out. She's putting up pictures of me as if I'm doing yoga and enjoying myself. It's a total slanderous post on behalf of my wife.
Okay, I thought you drove. Like I was like, Gabe didn't tell me he was in New York, and he drove all the way across country.
Okay. No. She was really selling me out. But Pat, how old is Pat's kid?
Like 6, 8 months.
He's screwed, man. Why haven't we? This is the take. Why haven't we been talking about this all year long?
I think his kid. I think his kid's that old. I don't know if that's the reason why, but obviously there's something. There's just something a little off. I thought he actually looked the best scrambling on that touchdown he had all season. He doesn't move quite the same this year. And again, he's like 24, man. Like this will be fine. Like there's all these people that are like, oh, his career. He's gonna be fine. 25, 26. I don't know how old he is. He's super young. He's 8 years younger than Taysom Hill, probably. And so, I think Ryan Clark is right that they're not feared, but I do think that teams think to themselves, hey, we can't let them get started, or we can't let them, kind of get things going. But positives for the Chiefs, man, these two young offensive linemen are, Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith are great. Thank you, Hank, for doing the legwork on this. A nine-month-old daughter. I don't know. It's just speculation that there's obviously things in his personal life that have led to some, but I can't confirm me that. I'm just saying that he's got a young kid, and you know how this is with kids, man. It's hard,
dude. It doesn't matter how much help you have. You cannot. Your brain doesn't work for the first year of a baby's life, and I'm sure everything's okay in their household. I hope everyone's healthy, but no matter what, no matter how good you have it, your brain is broken for the first year of your child's life. Mine is still broken. I'm almost 4 years into this.
You have three kids and twins, though. I mean, the twins make it, I think, like 25 times as hard. I don't even know.
Well, then fade the Chiefs if Pat ever has twins, let me tell you.
But I'm just trying to find ways to think about why this year hasn't been the same for him. I don't know if it's true.
Yeah, no, it's probably just stuff happens on the field.
Yeah, but I mean, he's just mechanically not as good as this year as he has been in previous years. And again, maybe the offseason, I think he had a foot surgery or oh, maybe he's having a bad year. It's okay. I think, but again, I go back to there are times he looks really good. I think Chiefs fans are hoping that those are the times he can get back. Because if they find some sort of rhythm here down the stretch, Gabe, I mean, they're gonna win the AFC. So down the stretch they play the Raiders at home this weekend. They're gonna win that game. At Los Angeles by the Chargers, who knows? No idea what Chargers team shows up. Steelers at home, they're going to win that game. At the Bengals, important game, but the Bengals have shown they cannot be trusted in any big game. Anytime we think they're good, they cannot be trusted. And they end with at the Broncos. Season ends so late this year, January 9th. So they're 8-4 now. Not going to be any worse than 12-5.
Well, I mean, you just very casually gave them some wins that I don't know if every one of those is a slam dunk. I mean, the Chargers is not an easy game. The Steelers have been spoiling all kinds of people's seasons.
Yeah, but the Steelers are at home. This game's at Arrowhead.
I don't know, man. Big Ben, one last hurrah. How about this? How about spoilers? Without anyone really paying any attention, the Miami Dolphins are going to screw the whole AFC up. They're on a heater, man. And Tua, statistically speaking, Hank wants me to tell you about all these stats comparing Tua to Mahomes. Even I'm not crazy enough on this show to do that. Well,
Tua has a lot of RPO yards. There are a lot of yards in there that are very schemed up. Very schemed.
Well, wherever they come from, he's putting up some numbers that are better than your boy Pat.
Miami's won 5 in a row after losing 7 in a row. They have a bye, Jets, Saints, Titans, Patriots.
Yeah, that Patriots game is going to mean a whole lot in the AFC.
Yeah, so they could realistically get to that 10-7 or 9-7 range, and that probably puts them in the playoffs. But Buffalo right now is, you know, so we'll see. I'm curious to see how this goes for them. They're overcoming some injuries, and we'll see.
All right, so let's stay in the AFC and talk about one of the other teams that is kind of paying attention to what happens with the Pats and the Chiefs, and that's the Ravens. So obviously a wild end to that game. They have to go for two, as we find out later. They go for two and the win, and they don't convert, and so they lose to the Steelers. So suddenly the Ravens, who kind of had a death grip on the AFC, are just kind of one of the teams in the hunt. They have 14 players out for the season, including now Marlon Humphrey. That's a killer. We already knew they had no running backs and a whole bunch of other guys beat up. I don't really know what the hell to make of the Ravens, but their division is trash still. An unpredictable pile of trash. So can they just sort of limp their way to relevance? Can they just be coached well enough to play with this many guys down?
Not anymore. There's too many guys being hurt.
Too many guys.
Too many guys, yeah.
14 was too many.
Well, no. I've said for a couple of weeks now, we're starting to see a little bit of a decline in their offensive production. You know, Lamar is trying to do too much, in my opinion, but I get why he's trying to do it, because no one's healthy. Offensive line's not healthy. Wide receivers in and out of lineup, no running backs to play with. And teams are just like, you know what? We don't really trust your offensive line. We're going to blitz you. We're going to get after you. I mean, the last 4 weeks, 10 points, 16, and that was with a backup quarterback, 16 and 19. And I've said for a while now that, you know, at least early in the season, I had Lamar's MVP because he was carrying a team full of injuries.
Yeah.
But eventually, Gabe, it just catches up to you. And we're at that point now with the Ravens. The efficiency numbers aren't good. They're in the 20s right now. Really, the upper 20s, low teens. And I get why he went for two and they had a guy open. It just didn't happen. But think about the games they've had this year. They beat the Browns 16-10. They came back against the Bears with a backup quarterback to win at the last second. Shellacked by the Dolphins. Beat the Vikings, I believe, in overtime. That's an overtime win. They beat the Chargers, smoked them. Colts, do you remember, they had to come back in that game, right? They were down big, and Clay's came up to block a kick. They beat the Lions in week 3 on a Justin Tucker historically long game-winning field goal. And the Chiefs would have won that game if CHE didn't fumble, right? So they got a little bit of luck. It might be going back in that direction now. I don't think they're a contender at all in the AFC.
Okay. I can't talk you into thinking they're a contender. I've just been kind of amazed by what Harbaugh's been able to do. It's been a good year to be a Harbaugh.
It's a great coaching job by him. There's no doubt about it. The AFC North is interesting because, again, every time the Bengals get a little bit of love, they lose to the Jets, Chargers. I'm curious how they kind of handle this. The Browns are last in that division because the Steelers have a bye. I was explaining to my dad why buys can basically count as like half wins. He's trying because he's like, well, what? How come a team has more wins, but the team with the tie is ahead of them in the standings? It's that's why the tie is like a half win. It's kind of odd how that's calculated.
You just confuse the hell out of me. I feel like your dad right now.
Okay, so like the Browns are 6-6, yeah. And the Steelers were 5-5-1.
Right.
And the Steelers were ahead of the Browns in like NBC's standings the other night.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But the Browns have one more win. They also have one more loss. So if those go, like, if those, you cancel those out, they have 0 points, basically. And the Steelers have half a point because they have that tie. Does that make sense? But again, I mean, it's like a weird thing. Like, the tie will help the Steelers in the end, put it like that.
Yeah, that way. When you put it that way, yes, that's obvious. Yes. So Bengals, we're going to say in the, you know, the sophomore bowl between Herbert and Burrow, which was fun, but Herbert looked better. And I don't know why, especially since you love Justin Herbert so much, I don't know why you keep just sort of brushing off my Chargers. They look good, man.
Sometimes. They go
well,
back.
What do they have to do to impress you enough? Because I know that the right side of their line and some spots in their defense. Well,
it's just so up and down, dude. Like, it's every week, even within games, is so up and down.
I think that's football this year. I think everyone is up and down. I can't remember a more up and down season in my lifetime. I also can't remember most of the last 4 years, as we've already covered. So who knows? But
I'm with you. It has been an extremely odd year.
All right. Well, the Bengals, who we're sort of touching on, who are up and down as much as anyone, they get the Niners, who are very up and down. They don't even know which quarterback they want. If you go on Twitter and you try to just sort of see what the pulse of Niners fans is, I'd say it's all Trey Lance time. But Jimmy's got them still technically kind of competing for the playoffs. So what do you do if you're the 49ers, or can we just not talk about the 49ers? It's really your call.
I mean, Jimmy G obviously lost the game in Seattle that they wanted to win. I don't know, man. It seems very unlikely Trey plays much this year unless they're out of the playoff hunt.
I'm thinking that they kind of don't think they really have a guy who's ready at this point because they obviously
Jimmy G's ready. It's just that Lance is not ready.
Yeah. Well, this draft has been a weird one, by the way. Just looking at how it all played out for all those quarterbacks. So many misses, actually, is what it looks like right now. And then the one guy who didn't miss is only allowed to throw the ball 3 times in the biggest game of the year. But okay, we'll put a rest to the A block, take a quick break, come back and move the line, our little over-under game. We got some fun ones for you, including Minshew Mania. It's coming back in a big way, Jeff, Top Gun references.
It is back, baby.
All right, let's do that on the other side of this break. We'll be right back.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Jeff, we're back. We're moving the line. We got a few more minutes here to cover a few over-unders I made up. Over-under, 65% chance we just watched Ben Roethlisberger's last win at Heinz Field.
Ooh, give me the schedule. Do you have the rest of the schedule?
No, I don't do that kind of research, Jeff. That's for you to do. No, I have it. Their last two home games are Tennessee and Cleveland.
They'll split those games, I think.
So you think there's one more Big Ben celebration in Pittsburgh this season?
Yeah. One more, and then he will be shipped off. I think there's a chance. People are talking about this. I know the next over-under is Gardner Minshew. There's a little bit of scuttlebutt of Gardner Minshew to the Steelers next year.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. Let's just slide right into that, Gardner Minshew. Over-under 2.5 more starts for the Eagles for Gardner Minshew this season. What do you think? You think they keep him there?
He looked good, man. No, I think when Hurts is back, he'll play. So I would say under.
under. They kind of have to go with Hurts, right?
Yeah, 100%, yeah.
But this is definitely going to be a Minshew offseason, isn't it? It's like it's just shaped up. He's going to be the guy who gets talked about.
Did you see him and his dad after the game?
I did. Oh, I have a take on that.
Okay.
We've already talked about Top Gun. I think, so we know he dressed up sort of like Maverick, right? That's what the jacket was all about and the glasses. I think if you go watch certain scenes from that movie, there's a scene when he gets out of the plane, he does like a big bear hug high five with Goose. I think he was trying to recreate that scene. His dad didn't understand that's what he's doing. It wasn't just that he loves football or whatever everyone was tweeting. He was just being a maniac trying to do a meme. And I think his dad didn't realize. How about that take?
Maybe.
Google it, Jeff.
But I'll say that I think he was just very fired up.
I mean, an hour after the game, taking a shower, he's changed pants. We got tracksuit pants on. I don't think that's just being fired up.
I think that we'll find out if
I think he was doing it for the gram, Jeff.
Doing it for the gram. Gardner Mitchell, a big gram guy. Didn't expect
that. Well, you know, or Twitter. But point is, I think he knew what he was doing. I don't think that was emotional.
I mean, are we gonna get a confirmation from him?
Well, I think if somebody has the guts to ask him the tough questions in Philly, this is, if I'm a journalist, this is what I'm asking about. I want to know. I think, go watch it. Go on to Twitter and create a tweet and then search GIFs for Top Gun and tell me you don't think that the high five and hug between Mav and Goose isn't what Gardner Minshew was going for with his dad.
All right, let's
you
go.
Tell me.
Let's go look at this.
I'll give you a minute. And while you do, Maverick, I'll ask you this question.
Maverick Goose hug.
Yeah. While you do it, and audience, please, you make up your own mind. Don't take it from me. Go look it up. Jeff, while you do that, though, I want to know, is there any chance we see two playoff teams come out of the NFC East? We think the Cowboys are in. Can the Eagles or Washington sneak in?
Eagles have an easy schedule, but that Giants loss is going to loom really, really large. Washington, man, I don't. I know that there is an excitement from our producer about Washington. Same with Matt. But, man, they win some ugly games.
Yeah, I'm not buying Washington.
I'm buying the Eagles because of their schedule, but they have to continue to win. You said the hug or the high five?
Well, they're kind of one and the same, Jeff. It's a whole moment with Goose.
But he kind of like punched his dad, though.
That's right. He didn't really do it right. But also, the scene itself has a little bit more aggressive Tom Cruise going at it kind of in it. I'm telling you, Jeff, this is what it is. Philly journalists, get on the case.
I guess so. I'm miffed by this Top Gun reference. But all right, what's next?
Next is over under 70% odds, Jeff speaks fluent Cooper Kupp. Can we play the clip, please, of Cooper Kupp talking about I don't know what the hell, but Jeff, I'm sure you will understand it.
Touchdown specifically, your defender went and blitzed. What did you see there? How were you able to use that to your advantage?
Yeah, they just had a little three deep fire zone, brought the nickel off the edge, safety dropped down. It didn't look like they were doing a replacement fire zone, so I knew at the back away we were going to get three pushing through. I had an opportunity to kind of run in there if I could beat my guy and just had to beat the safety to the end zone.
Yeah, basically he said that they ran a field pressure and they just never filled that zone back in. So he just kind of ran into the unfilled zone of the defense.
That's all that was?
Essentially, yeah.
That was a lot of words to say that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what he's talking about, yeah.
Okay. Well, I, like most people, heard that and were like, the man's a genius. He's operating on a different level because if you play fantasy football, Cooper Kupp is your god. So you're just saying he's like, pretty average knowledge kind of guy and just said it the way that football players say it instead of the way we speak.
Yeah, I mean, I just went and looked at the actual quote of what he said. Exactly what he said. Yeah, they left empty space in downfield, and no one just filled that area, so he just ran into the area and caught the ball and kept running.
Okay, so there you go. Jeff Schwartz is smarter than you, everybody. Odds over under 20% chance Jared Goff doesn't care about the Lions season because, as we all saw, he is already winning.
Oh man, I was unaware of this relationship being a thing. I just remember his rookie season. We saw him with his shirt off. Now, to be fair, I am also pretty much with my shirt off, and my wife is good looking. So, I guess I really can't But yeah, that was the winning has already happened for old Jared Goff there. I love how people were like under the comment like oh, she's not a good girlfriend. She didn't watch the game live. And I'm like, she's working. Like, let her. Can you let her work, please? So good for Jared Goff. I mean, look, you need some wins in life. Obviously, he got two wins yesterday or more.
Yep. I think what this raised, and for anyone who has not seen, go on Twitter and you don't even have to put anything more than Goff in because it'll take you right to what you need. What I'm kind of amazed by is that why is he even still playing football? Like, why isn't he just on that beach right now?
Well, I don't know how long it's going to be until he's done playing football.
Well, I would speed it up if I were him. He's wasting time right now.
Jared Goff. Oh, man. You remember the thing about him on that Hard Knocks, the first season he was in the NFL? Was that he was too skinny or too dumpy or something like that for a quarterback's body? It's like, he's a quarterback. Who cares what he looks like, his body looks like?
I mean, all I remember is him having like a chipping thing in his backyard.
Oh, yeah. He does have that. That's extreme. I don't like anything that much that needed chipping. Like, I just need some TVs in my house and good Wi-Fi.
Jeff, you had a chicken coop in your backyard.
Had, because they all got murked. And it was not my decision to have chicken coop. It's my wife's. And poor things, just a raccoon got them, and then a hawk and an owl. And
But I'm just saying, like, for the first 2 years I knew you, you were doing this elaborate redesign of your, like, resort backyard. Let's just be honest about this. Jared Goff has maybe an extreme pitching and putting setup, but your backyard setup's pretty elaborate.
Yeah, my pool's large. I need to put a gazebo up, but it's expensive right now. I want to cover the bar area, but prices to construct stuff is so expensive that there's no point in doing that right now. My backyard's pretty awesome. My pool's like 40 by 27. It's ridiculous. But I'm not a golf person, so like I don't need to put a putting green in there. He's building a house, and he's going to put a bunch of golf. So he's going to put a golf sim. Mitch dug into the basement. Like, they actually brought excavators into his basement to dig out the concrete basement to have enough room. He can put his golf sim down there. He is a hardcore golf. I'm just not. Golf to me is like out, just go outside, have a cigar, and hang out with your buddy. Like, it's not. I'm not good at it.
How many strokes has Mitch given you in 18 holes?
We played this year one time. He beat me by 10 strokes.
Okay, so five aside is a fair number, you think?
That sounds too complicated. What is five aside? I don't know what that means.
Oh, see, now I'm like Cooper Kupp.
You used to golf a bunch. I don't do business golfing.
The handicap says he'll give you on the five toughest holes per side, per nine holes, he's going to give you a stroke on those holes. So if he gets a four and you get a five on those holes, you're actually net even.
Yeah, I don't think we play like that, but sure.
Okay. Well, you know who should play that way? Alabama versus the whole rest of the field in college football. College basketball, though, also becoming a problem. If you hate Alabama, you're going to hate what I'm about to tell you.
Yeah.
Number 16, as of the recording of this show, Alabama beat number 3, Gonzaga, in college basketball. So over under 10% chance the Tide win both football and basketball in the same calendar year.
Well, it's under, not winning basketball, but it's a big win for them. The basketball championship is too hard to predict because there is a tournament. And the tournament requires you to win 6 games in a row, maybe 7 for the play-in game. And like in any given day, you just can have a bad shooting day and you're out of the tournament. You know, last year Gonzaga was the favorite. They lost to Baylor. This year it's Gonzaga, Duke, the two favorites again, I would imagine. UCLA is going to be up there as well as a favorite. To assume Alabama's going to win, I think, would now. I just wouldn't put money on it. It just feels like not a smart wager at the moment.
Well, I hear you, and it sounds like what you're telling me is college football needs a 12-team playoff because this just Alabama screws around during the regular season.
This is the year for a 12-team playoff, buddy. I'll tell you that. This is the exact year to do it just because of the craziness. I mean, are you telling me that people want to play Utah right now?
Hell no.
No. So
hey, you brought us here. I have to ask this, and we'll end the show, and you can go to sleep, and I'm going to just go pace around my house probably – having a drink or two to get rid of the stench in my mouth from that Patriots game. Mario Cristobal, officially out. When we did our Monday show, it wasn't official. Now, Tuesday show, it's official. He's going to Miami. How do you feel?
I'm glad it's over. I mean, it's it was a four-day kind of wait period to see if Mario was going to leave. I don't fault him. It's just going back home. He actually, believe it or not today, did an interview with a local Oregon radio station with John Canzano. I couldn't believe it. John texted him, and he came on the show. Like, no SID. He just came on to talk about how much he loved coaching at Oregon and how he's going back to coach in Miami and to give love to people at Oregon. I had no problem with him leaving. Obviously, puts us in a bad spot trying to find a coach. We had a five-star offensive tackle decommit. We've had two four-stars decommit. I mean, it's a bad place to be right now. But Mark Cristobal said in the interview today, he has three top 10 classes in Eugene. So whoever takes that job will get a very talented roster. Some might leave. I don't know. I think that transferring is a little overhyped. Oklahoma has barely had any guys in the transfer portal since Lincoln Riley left. Oregon is a good football school. We've had four coaches win 10 games since 2005. Three have made Rose Bowls. You could argue our 2017 was the best of them all. When Dennis got hurt, we made another Rose Bowl that year at the minimum. Maybe a BCS championship game. We played two championship games. Like, we fine, Gabe. But it sucks to see your coach go. It's funny. People are like, you're so salty today. Yes. Why would I not be? What's your reaction going to be? Oh, great. The guy that has his fourth top 10 recruiting class, the guy that's won in the last two full seasons, won 10 games and two conference championships and a Rose Bowl and beat Ohio State. Yeah, I'm happy he's leaving. Of course I'm a little salty. Not as salty, by the way, is our buddy Dan Rubenstein, who put together an incredible video.
He got him good.
So, look, I don't begrudge Mario. I don't like it, but good for him and good for his family. I know he's going back home. It's a tough job, man. In Oregon, you win 10 games every year, you're set for life. In Miami, they have not won the ACC conference since joining in 2004. They have one single 10-win season and one New Year's Six Bowl in that time. Yes, the resources are going to be improved, supposedly. But an Oregon answer to one person, Phil Knight. At Miami, I don't know, answering to seven boosters. Five of them are his old buddies. Like, he's going to have buddies. He's going to have his phone blown up. All these dudes want to hang out with him. These boosters want to see him. Like, it's going to be a little bit of a tougher job for all those reasons. Recruiting, obviously, plus there's more bodies there. The conference is down this year and maybe for the future. I don't know, but I don't know. Good for Mario in the end. And Oregon will find a coach and we'll be fine. I will say it's just funny that people say to me, like, well, Oregon's dead, or USC's back. I go, we don't play USC. We played USC once in the last 3 years. And that was a Pac-12 championship game. No, we beat them in 19. We played once in the regular season. That was in 19. We beat them. We also 3-0 against Washington. Oh, Chris Peterson. Oh, yeah, Mario beat him twice. 3-0 against UCLA, 2-0 against USC. Like, we'll be fine, man. We'll be fine.
Okay, you keep telling yourself that.
What? So far, by the way, Lincoln Riley, boy,
just talk yourself into it. I know.
Think about this at USC. He has flipped exactly zero recruits who he did not already have committed to Oklahoma. So this guy was going to come in and change the landscape. Now, he might flip some because of Mario. That's because Mario leaving. But if Mario didn't leave, he was flipping zero Oregon guys to USC from California.
Weather's been great. Maybe he was hanging at the beach. Maybe that's it.
He's doing, he's doing the Dan Patrick and the Colin Coward, man. He's just living the LA lifestyle. I'm sure he's going to have a, is there an award show this weekend he's going to be at?
I don't know. Maybe we'll start one for him. Maybe just make the Lincoln Riley Awards. The Rileys.
Are you going to be the first USC home game this year?
I say that every year that I will be. And then see previous on the three kids. We'll see.
Bring the kids.
Yeah.
What's better than a drive up the, what will you take, the 405 to the 10 to go to the Coliseum? What's better than that on a Saturday?
Pretty much everything is better than that. You know what's not better than that? Driving down the 5 for 7 hours by yourself while your wife trolls you on Instagram. That's what's not better, Jeff.
She made it seem like you were the worst dad of all time.
Yeah, I know. She put it out there for the whole world to see. And Jeff, you fell for it. But at least you know she's a real person and not a robot. That's now. Also, so we've come a long way.
We have come a long way. That was a valid.
Still,
it was a valid thing that I thought. And I'm not stupid, but that for those who don't get very quickly, his wife has the most beautiful English accent of all time.
If they're listening now, they know it. Oh, they've been here for a while.
The most beautiful English accent. And we had this old show back in the day when she read the gambling lines. And at the final show of the year, we did a live show in New York City. And I said to someone like, is the computer going to show up? And they're like, no, it's Gabe's wife. I go, it's not Gabe's wife. What are you talking about? And lo and behold, it was your wife. So it just was, the reason why I thought it was that, because you guys did it so perfectly with how she said everything. And then you included it into the thing. So yeah. I'm an idiot.
Jeff, can I offer you a very special treat right now?
Is she going to pop on?
George, would you just say, however you see fit, that Jeff's got a great show on Thursday. He's going to be making picks with Matt Ford, and he's going to have a really great week.
That was a lot of words to say. Jeff has a really great show on Thursday. Matt Ford is awesome.
Yeah.
What was the other thing?
That's it. That's it.
Yeah, that was it. Oh, and I'm not a robot.
Yes.
There you go.
Thank you. Yeah. See? That's too perfect. I thought it was a robot. So that's the story.
All right, everyone. Smile at the very end. This was a horrible night until just now.
Yeah. So good. There you go. We ended with some fun. If you're here for the 52nd minute of whatever how long the show is, it's midnight. I'm going to sleep. We'll talk to you guys Thursday. The Patriots, by the way, cost us our winning week. So we're 2-3, which is just our NFL season. It's going to be that way. We'll be back on Thursday. No college games unless we want to do Army-Navy this week. But we'll full NFL slate. And we'll be back on Thursday, guys. Have a great one.